I hate, I despise your festivals. I take no delight in your solemn assemblies, but let justice roll down like waters and righteousness. The prophet Amos lived during the 8th century BC, during a time of reasonable economic prosperity. But he also saw much injustice, with the poor being exploited and scams being used to cheat people when they bought food and supplies. And so Amos reminds us, as he reminded the people of his time, that our worship is meaningless if our actions belie God's justice. It's fair trade fortnight. We're all aware, I think, of fair trade, but the Care for the World team thought it would be appropriate during fair trade fortnight to remind ourselves of its importance. As we all know, trading these days is global, and for the most part in the hands of big multinational companies. And we're all aware also of the seemingly endless discussions going on about what will happen post-Brexit for our trade deals, customs union or not, and so on. Even if our eyes glaze over when the news comes on. Or is that just me? Never been an economist. Big questions, huge issues. What can we do? What influence can we have? Supporting fair trade is one small way that we can make a difference. And as with many of those initiatives which start very small, if enough people join in, then together we do have an impact. And particularly when things are about buying and selling, because the traders want our company, our money rather, our trade. We've seen fair trade grow over the past 40 years or so, from mainly selling imported ethnic goods to the now widespread sale of fair trade foodstuffs in supermarkets, as well as a whole range of other products. And all this has brought benefits to local communities of small farmers worldwide, as we heard just briefly on that video. The Fair Trade Foundation is the British arm of an international fair trade community, really. And the Fair Trade Foundation says, fair trade is a simple way to make a difference to the lives of the people who grow the things we love, like tea. We do this by changing the way trade works through better prices, decent working conditions, and a fair deal for farmers and workers in developing countries. And from the perspective of the companies and farmers, fair trade sets standards. Social standards, economic, environmental standards, set for companies, but also for the farmers and the workers, so that the standards include protection of workers' rights and of the environment. And for the companies, they include that they have to pay the fair trade minimum price and also a fair trade premium that was mentioned in the video. And that premium goes to local communities for them to invest in their businesses or in community projects. Another little video on the Fairtrade website talked about a school that had been built in a particular community so that the youngsters were able to go locally to school instead of having to travel a great distance. So that Fairtrade helps communities to take responsibility, to decide on the use of their resources, to improve the lives of their community. When using that fair trade premium, producers determine what's most important to them, whether that's education or healthcare, improving the business, building something like a bridge or a road. And for consumers, us, fair trade gives some reassurance, as it were, about the quality. The Fair Trade Foundation checks that standards have been met by the farmers, by the workers, and by the companies. and they license the use of the fair trade mark on products to signal that these products have been approved, as it were. You might have heard a recent concern about Sainsbury's wanting to go it alone with its own fair trade products and its own fair trade way of doing things. But that would be outside the agreed system of standards and monitoring, which is why people have been concerned. And the fair trade premium would not go directly to the farmers, but would go through a sort of Sainsbury's organisation. So again, taking away some of the empowerment from the local farmers. So fair trade is about justice. We can all make shopping choices. We can all play our part. In that gospel reading, which is the one from the lectionary, I cheated by choosing Amos for the Old Testament lesson, but the John reading is the lectionary. And in it, Jesus confronts some unfair traders with a similar message to that of Amos, that worship is tainted if there is injustice going on. It's a familiar story, and perhaps one that disturbs our mental picture of gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Here is Jesus getting angry, perhaps even behaving unreasonably. One could argue that it was reasonable to have buying and selling of animals in the temple courtyards. It was part of how things worked. That's always a justification, isn't it? Sacrifice was part of the temple worship, and it would have been perhaps not sensible for people travelling a long way, perhaps from Galilee in the north, to bring their animals for sacrifice. Better to sell them. Use the money to buy animals when they reach Jerusalem. And apparently the Roman coins were not allowed in the temple precincts because they bore the head of the emperor. So again, changing money was necessary. So all this trading, all this buying and selling was part of temple life and needed. But Jesus, as ever, challenges the status quo. And in doing so, challenges us to look at our society and at our world. And perhaps Jesus saw that people were being cheated. It's more explicit in the story as we find it in the Synoptic Gospels, Mark, Matthew, and Luke, where Jesus talks about God's house being made into a den of thieves. Those traders would have had a monopoly within the temple precincts, the only place where you could get your money changed, where you could buy your sacrificial animals. Roll up, roll up. And we know how that can mean being overcharged. Think of motorway services. There's a bit of a monopoly there, isn't there? Not the cheapest places to buy your cup of coffee. And those with a monopoly can also always justify their prices as reasonable. We can think of parallels with global trade. And here's this link, I think, with fair trade and with speaking out for justice. Jesus is angry because of things which are wrong. And we know that those who make policies, and indeed those who implement them, don't like people in the churches, Christians, indeed folk of other faiths as well, commenting on what they do. But here, Jesus, like the prophets, is not afraid to take action. But perhaps Jesus also has a more all-embracing complaint and anger. That all this commercial activity is a sign of how God's house is being misused. How the temple and the priests and the worshippers themselves are far away from what God intends. The house of prayer has been compromised. God's temple is not a marketplace. Excuse me. I'm not sure that the challenge here for us in all of that is about Sunday trading. Seems to me it's bigger than that. It's about the commercialization, perhaps, of society, where everything is seen in business terms. Services contracted out, commercial organizations given control. And we see the problems that arise when that fails. That's not to say business is bad. It's just that it has its place. And perhaps it makes us question about the pressures of all this in our fast-paced society, 24/7 technology, people on their phones all the time. That's our status quo. We might want to know and to ask, what message do we have into this current status quo, this misuse not of God's temple, but of society around, of ways of life? You know, is this just what life's all about? At the Away Day, we're asking, what is our message? What do we have to offer to people around? Some people use the word kingdom, and we in church know what we mean by that. About quality of life, about fullness of life, that constant busyness, constant commercialization, as I put it, the way we look at life seems to me something that we need to challenge and to share. Jesus is coming, his living, his death, and his resurrection turns the old order upside down. We've got a new picture up there on the wall, I noticed. Somebody whose head is bound up with barbed wire. I think perhaps that's a bit of the same picture as I'm giving of society being sort of bound up with this commercialisation. And the cross, the person's got a wire cutters, because somehow the cross can free us from that. Jesus turns the old order upside down through his death and resurrection. And perhaps in our quiet way, that's what we are called to do for those around us. Amen.